Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Rod, this is a resilient bunch. You guys have found yourselves in this position before.
Cocky, arrogant, right. Radio, typical radio guy, Boston media, blah, blah, blah. Reality sucks, doesn't it?
Well, I think it's nice to know that you can rely on that and at least look back and go, hey, okay, it's not, you know, it's not over.
So the team is done.
They'll have lots of energy. The fans will be going crazy. They'll bring that stupid pig out.
Alexander Hamilton.
They may roast that pig.
My name is Alexander Hamilton.
Bacon!
Breaking news. The judge has granted Robert Kraft's motion to suppress the video evidence.
Looks like the Kraft video is going to be suppressed. We won't see that. But one wiener is on the loose. We'll explain.
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that one.
Welcome Celtics guard Terry Rozier.
See, bro.
To the show. So good to have you.
Same team. It's going to be exactly the way it was this past year. Do you want to stay in Boston?
No, I might have to go. I said what I said after the season.
I thank God for my family and my boys back at the crib. They kept me level-headed all year because I've been dealing with some bullshit, man.
Right now.
Yeah, I'm glad. Oh,
going to Duke. Going to Duke.
Know. On Sports Radio WEEI.
Oh, scary Terry. What were you doing? What were you thinking? It's interesting because ESPN usually has more high-profile players. I mean, he's a bench player. He's an okay player, but he's a bench player. And it was funny seeing him do the car wash with all three shows today on ESPN.
Like in
the
five.
And then they had the graphic up there. Playoff, 6 points per game. And he's sitting there going, what? What's he doing up here? But he couldn't help himself. He did, as Chris Mannix said, opened up the door to kind of confirm a lot of things that we thought were going on. But in doing so, I think he made himself look so bad. And Chris agrees with what we were saying earlier. This is going to hurt him in the open market.
Yeah, but again, so the question was like, why? Why would you do this? Okay, so...
And Stephen A. just drew it out of him.
Yeah, he's such a great interviewer, right?
Like, let's go back to the quote.
The way he speaks.
Because really, like he's a restricted free agent.
Yes.
What exactly is it that you did sacrifice, in your words?
Oh, this is the best one, though. But the odds are that he's not going anywhere.
Here's where he might go. He might go as part of an Anthony Davis package. They may be able to convince him. New Orleans is willing to pay you the money. We're going to do a sign and trade. If we do a sign and trade, we'll get you to New Orleans because Kyrie's coming back here with Anthony Davis. You don't want to be here. He was offered $12 million a year.
He turned it down in October.
So
what Chris says, you know, reality is he's probably not going anywhere, right? Danny's going to match and he's going to use that asset. Maybe he'll trade him. But if Kyrie's coming back, I mean, there's no chance. You sign him and then trade him, right? I mean, these two cannot come back and play together. If Kyrie comes back, Rozier's gone.
Yeah, I agree with Chris. I think Danny would look at it and say, we'll find a way to calm him down for now, and then we'll get to the trading deadline. That's when we'll trade Rozier because we'll find out what we're missing. We've got Davis here. We've got Kyrie. We're still missing something, and we can use him to go and get that player. But it made no sense. He was sitting there like he's entitled today. He doesn't understand why Kyrie and why Hayward would get so much attention.
I understand, but listen, this was Terry Rozier today on First Take talking about that, if this team remained the same.
If the Boston Celtics came to you right now,
oh, geez,
and they said to you, we're bringing everybody back. Same team. It's going to be exactly the way it was this past year.
Preach it, preacher!
Do you want to stay in Boston?
No, I might have to go. I might have to go. You know, I put up with a lot this year. So
much.
You know, I said what I said after the season. I think we all know that. I'm not trying to step into that again.
Did they make you practice?
Oh, yeah, I put up with so much.
Oh, you came off the bench.
What a little.
Guys, you're a cruel human being. Hold on. Shame on his agent.
Terry Rozier wasn't able to be Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier in the corner. Terry Rozier got to be able to go out there and play. Terry Rozier wasn't able to be Terry Rozier in the third person.
To the quote.
Oh, let's do that.
Oh, let's.
You know what? I wasn't going to say anything, but now you're going to get it out of me. It's just so stupid.
It's so
why would you tell Danny Ainge, now, I'm not going to go back there? Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you at least, first of all, you need to get a contract. So if you get it from Boston or you get it elsewhere, what difference does it make? Because once you get the contract, you can be moved somewhere else. They can move you somewhere else.
Yes. Here's
and,
the thing.
And Chris is right. That's how Danny is going to look at it. Danny is going to look at him right now as an asset. Danny's not going to – he won't get pissed. He will laugh this thing off. He will sit there and say, oh, my God, those ESPN guys, they threw those questions, and he couldn't help himself. But he's going to look at him as an asset. He's going to look at him as, can I include him in the Anthony Davis deal?
Yeah, but here's the problem, though. That asset is losing value. So if you're Danny Ainge – you can recognize what are you doing? Like we're trying to raise your value, not decrease it. You're killing me over here. Or like I think most of the time with all these NBA players, like they have a little tantrum. They're jealous. They're a little vindictive. Their feelings get hurt easily, and then they go out and they act out because you can sit there. You can look at the stats and you ran them off earlier today. I don't even remember what they were. As far as touches, as far as minutes, because he was sitting there bitching about, you know, Kyrie getting too much time, Hayward getting too much time.
He's touching the ball more than
they are. And he's touching the ball more than they are.
He's missing.
So really, what is the problem?
The problem is he wants
to
be a star.
Nobody kissed your ass?
So the problem was
the problem is they kissed Hayward's ass because he was coming off an injury, right. And there's this connection to his coach, and Kyrie Irving is Kyrie Irving.
Something new, Christian. It's never happened before. We're stars, especially in the NBA. Stars are treated differently than bench players.
Everyone. It's the same. That's what they tell me.
You and Nomar treated the same, weren't you?
It's everything. You got to accomplish something in your sport first, and then with that comes a little bit more respect, a little more leeway. That's just the way it is.
He has a false sense of
Kyrie Irving should be treated differently than you. So shouldn't Gordon Hayward. He should be treated differently than you. Al Horford should be treated differently than you. I don't know how the hell you can't understand that.
I don't know if I've ever seen an interview with a player like this where there are so many the jump off the page at you. We already played one where if Kyrie's back, he doesn't want to be back. There's another one where he talks about the moment that he knew that this thing all fell apart because he came in with a great attitude. He was ready to play. He was ready to do this. And that was the night that Kyrie came out and told the fans at the Fan Fest that if you'll have me, I'm coming back. That was the moment in which it broke Terry's heart and he fell apart. But this is the other one that I'm totally confused at. He claims that in practice, everything was great with the team. And then when they got to the game, it all messed up. And he explains why.
Well, how was it different on the floor from what it was in practice?
You know, we have five, the first five, and then we had a second five. And then, you know, when we go out there, I feel like a lot of guys would be mixed up. It wouldn't be the first five and second five. So when we talked about
practice. Wait, hold on. Wait, stop. Sorry. Wait, are they allowed to sub in the NBA?
No. You got to go five at a time.
Five
at a time. CYO. You ever play like CYO where it's like you get your starting five and all of a sudden it's like, sup! The next five go in. Sup! The next five go in. Is that how Terry Rozier thought the NBA worked? He's upset because the first unit worked together in practice and the second unit worked together, but in the game, Brad Stevens is so stupid. He used to sub one or two guys at a time and I wasn't working with Kyrie in practice. I wasn't working with Gordon Hayes. I can't believe Brad Stevens subbed a guy in at a time.
I have no chemistry with these guys. I don't know which way they're going to go.
It wouldn't be the first five and second five. So
what
we talked about in practice is not what we went through in the game. It was like, all right, we're going to keep Kyrie out there and we're going to put the other guys out there with him and we're going to figure it out.
What if somebody gets hurt during the game?
Oh,
they pull a hamstring.
No. There's no contingency plan.
Coach, we can't run that play.
No. It's simple. The other four have to come out of the game and the other five have to play.
Yeah, so if one guy gets hurt from that starting five,
they all going to come out.
Oh, really? Yep. That was having a good game.
Yeah, Coach, you are all these girls with the pom-poms. Oh, Terry, those are the cheerleaders.
So I don't think he knows.
He really thinks that 6 through 10 on any NBA team is as good as 1 through 5 and they should just be replaced.
Yeah, 6-minute mark in the first quarter.
Five, and then we had a second five, and then
equal playing time.
So, first of all, he dumps all over Brad Stevens. Second of all, if I'm another team that has interest in him, and Mannix just said it, there were teams out there he thought had some interest in a kid. If you hear this stuff, and you're sitting there going, "Oh my God." First of all, he wants to be the star of our team, and he's not good enough to be the star of our team. All right, we need him to understand he's a role player, and maybe he can build up to a star player or certainly a starter. And he has this mentality that when we're in practice, he sees it one way, and then when the game hit and they mix and match players, he can't handle it. I don't know if I'm telling my general manager, let's go get this guy. I'm sitting there going, I don't know if I can coach this guy. Right?
It's
crazy.
I know, and I will give those guys credit because they did pepper him.
They got him to talk.
Yeah, they got him to talk.
It wasn't hard.
Because it wasn't hard. Hey, tell us what happened with Kyrie. Oh, no, please tell us. Okay, well, here's what happened.
How about the one where he's thinking about a couple of players?
Yes, he wouldn't name anybody.
And then finally, I don't know, they think it's, Rozier 3. I think you got that one. I don't even know. On the first take 2, whatever it is. Find it back there. But when he's talking about it, Max is like, you know the name. Say the name. Say the names. You know, and he's like, it's Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. You know, I had to play with Kyrie most of my minutes, and I had to play with Hayward the other most of my minutes. And, Gordon Hayward all of a sudden became this ball-dominant player. Did you guys watch the games this year? Like, a lot of the times he was hiding in the corner.
Yeah.
Right? Did he look like a guy that just controlled, when he came into court, just took control of the offense? I would say Marcus Morris was more of a guy that once he touched the ball, he shot it. But you're going to complain? Kyrie Irving, I get it. He's a ball-dominant guy. When you're on the court with him, you're probably serving a different style. Okay, maybe you're the point guard, you're playing Kyrie off the ball. I don't know. But you can't adapt with Gordon Hayward? What the hell did he do? Was he taking over games, Gordon Hayward? Really?
No. A couple times.
Good.
And they dumped him with Gatorade.
Let's go back to the quote.
How far back?
What exactly is it that you did sacrifice, in your words?
In my words.
I sacrificed, you know, obviously my talent, I think, the most. You know, me being out there and giving my full style of play, how I play, how Terry Rozier play, I feel like I couldn't be that person this year.
Why do you feel you couldn't be that person?
You know, just obviously in the shadow of some guys, I feel like a lot of the ball was in either Gordon Hayward's hand most of the time. So I feel like, you know, either Terry Rozier is just in the corner or...
Why is he speaking in the third person?
Because he's an ass hat.
Why can't he say, you know, I was stuck in the... Why is he going to say Terry Rozier? They all know who he is.
Because he's an ass hat.
There's not anybody on that panel that doesn't know. Thank you for, identifying yourself
you
again.
You know, either Terry Rozier is just in the corner or...
Unbelievable.
I feel bad for him. I think he... didn't know what he was doing. He was all excited. He was going to be the star today at ESPN in the car wash all day long. He was going to get all the attention, which is something I think he desperately needed all season long. Because anytime he'd get into a game, he'd just fire the ball up. He figured, I'm going to play 14 minutes. I'm going to get 14 shots up. And that was his game. It was a very selfish game, and it didn't play to the team. And when you hear him now, there's a reason why. He was trying to get himself that attention. But it's sad that he does this because... he's not helping himself. He's not helping himself with the Celtics, and I don't think he's helping himself going to another team.
It's almost like he's like, you know what? I'm going to do this. I got to get it off my chest. Like you said a couple times, I got to be real. You know, and I have something to say. I got to defend myself and defend my year. And really, all he did was just expose himself as an awful teammate and just a dumb player who couldn't see the big picture. And I tell you, another guy he exposed to me is Brad Stevens.
The five-on-five thing.
You talk about the egos that are on this ball club, you know, and I'll start with the superstar and Kyrie Irving, right? Not being able to handle the success that these guys had last year without him. That bothered him all year long from what I was told. And one of the reasons why he acted the way he acted. So he didn't want to give the kids enough credit for doing what they accomplished. And they deserve credit for it. However, on the other side, you know, guys like this guy, his ego... he thought he should play over Kyrie Irving this year. He thought he was a better player. He thought he accomplished something.
He's arrived.
And maybe some of the younger guys did as well. Now, they did, but I think both of them. So basically what you're dealing with is a lot of egos coming into the season, totally different pages, and their head coach never straightened it out.
The worst thing that happened to this team
ever
is they got to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
They should have lost to the Bucks. They would have had a better year this year if they lost to the Bucks last year in the first round.
I agree.
They would have been a better basketball
team. And it was very phony. And you look at the road games, they were blown out in most of them in the playoffs. It was a different Eastern Conference. But he feel bad. He hurt himself today. And his agent doesn't pull him after that first show. He doesn't, he's not watching
us. It's good. Keep going. We're going to do First Take next. Then we're going to do a radio show.
It got
then
worse.
We're going to do Sports Center. But you don't keep going with that. How? Why is it their fault and not yours? Keep going with that.
Let's get some reaction. Here's Joe in the car. Hey, Joe.
Joe. You know, you guys are a bunch of jokers.
Yeah.
I'm going to, you know what, Glenn and Christian? So let me get this.
Oh, I'm out of it.
No, you're not a joker.
You're a joke.
You're not funny at all.
No, you're a joke.
I think a joke with you guys, though.
I love you, Lou, but don't go to two clowns. Let me make my point. So let me get this straight, Glenn and Christian. He goes on ESPN. He basically confirms what we all thought was happening behind closed doors. Because he doesn't go on WEEI and spill the beans to Christian and Glenn and make it a national story, which ESPN would be all over that as far as him going on WEI to get all your exposure. You guys want to knock the guy for going on the on ESPN.
Is that what you think, Joe? You think because he didn't come on WEEI, we're killing him here? Is that what you think?
That's right, Glenn. Because
you're crazy. We're playing all this sound. Are you kidding me? This is the greatest thing in the world for us. For the media, Joe?
Oh, really?
Yes. It's great. It's stupid. It's stupid for the player, Joe. For the player to come back with the Celtics or go elsewhere and move on in his career.
Really, Glenn? All you guys do when you guys interview players in the media, they don't want to know the good stuff. They want them to come out with the bad stuff so it can be a story. So the guy goes down to his head, and you guys will call him all kinds of names.
You think this was smart?
You know, hold on. You know, for the record, Joe. For the record, Joe. I know you're a big Merlone fan.
No, nope.
I remember you, Joe.
I think you're being hypocrite.
I would like to tell you this, Joe. I hate to just ruin your afternoon.
Lou's been killing him.
Lou's been killing him more than any of us.
Killing him.
What does that mean? You're such a hypocrite, Joe.
I want to give Lou a pass
because he's a baseball player, or he's from Framingham.
It's a
Pison thing.
Listen, I'll take the side of Glenn. All right, thanks, Joe. Right, goodbye.
Lou, you know I got a big crush on you, brother.
Matt's in Springfield. Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Matt?
Hey, so yesterday I couldn't get through, but, you know, a lot of people, and you guys included, and you know, almost myself, we're all saying the series is over, you know, because the Bruins
definitely talking about the Bruins.
You really never know, and I can't stand when people say that. The series is not.
Why? You nervous?
Matt, I'll tell you what. Let me make you feel better, okay? This was a scheduled scrimmage that the NHL gave the Bruins before they have to go to the Stanley Cup, just so the boys can get a little sweat.
Seems like it, doesn't it?
Well, it does. So don't worry about it, Matt, because if you think it's over, and I think it's over, and Christian and Glenn, we all think it's over, we don't play.
Yeah, I know.
So we don't play.
Is, you know, there could have been a lot of series that in sports history that say the series is over. And things turn around, you never know, and I love the Bruins. I watch every single game.
I hear you, Matt.
But we got to lay off on the series is over.
Okay.
Matt,
can I make you feel better?
Sure, Glenn.
Hurricanes win tonight 3-1.
No. Don't listen to him, Matt. Listen,
Hurricanes win tonight 3-1, Matt.
If the Hurricanes remember this,
Hamilton,
Matt,
the pick.
You stay cocky, okay? You stay arrogant like the rest of us. We're all cocky. If the Canes come back and win this series, it's not your fault.
I don't think they're going to win the series.
But it's not your fault.
Why not?
It's like Goodwill Hunting.
No.
I think it is Matt's fault.
No, it's not your
I'm
fault.
I'm blaming it on Matt.
Just hug him and get it over with.
What are you going to blame it on, Tuukka Rask?
Matt, it's
this
not your fault.
This is Belichick's fault.
Pretty sure it'll be the Bruins, like the team, the players.
Really?
Are they gonna start their backup tonight, or what?
If I was the Bruins, I wouldn't start a goalie if I was the Bruins.
Wait, who's starting for them? Who's starting today?
McEnany starting tonight.
Confirmed.
Yeah. I'm making it up. McEnany, is that his name?
No?
I'm making it up.
McGillicuddy?
That was when you first asked me, by the way, when nobody in the studio knew anything about the team, and I was one person that knew a couple players.
I think the Bruins should come out with
the Whalers.
Two defensemen and four forwards. Pull the goalie early on in this game.
You were too cocky.
And just practice.
You're too cocky.
Just practice 6-on-5. You might need it in the cup.
3-1 tonight. Hurricanes win this game tonight.
Bruins 7-2.
Wow. What do you got?
Did you say 7-2? So I can't
I
go
say?
7. I'm going to go. I'll go 4-0.
You guys are cocky.
How about
see,
that?
You're killing
7-2.
You're killing
this
it.
Is,
see?
You know, a lot of, here's
this
the
is
thing.
Typical. You win a couple games, and instead of understanding it's a real series, hey, the guys on the other team, they put on
pants.
Yeah, they get
paid
the same sweater.
Right?
Do that. They get paid.
You know, see, people are looking at that whole that series against Washington when they start off. They started down 2-0, and they came back to win that series.
It's over.
Totally different. Just, you know, play guys by the Hurricanes.
Shot.
Totally different.
McEnany's going to make 42 stops tonight. Unbelievable.
It's over.
3-1. Hurricanes are going
to
win tonight.
He's going to need to make stops.
Hurricanes
50.
Are going to win tonight. Jim's in a car.
Ooh, yeah, there's a storm a brewing.
Tastes good.
Hello.
What's up, Jim?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey.
Look, Joe's got it completely wrong. I mean, what idiot gets on and discusses himself in the third person?
Terry Rozier.
You got to eat a.
I don't understand how an adult man can do something like that.
You know, either Terry Rozier is just in the corner or.
Fudge.
Did he say fudge? Are we sure?
I'm pretty sure he said fudge.
Yeah, close to him. Yeah, good of you.
Look, they're going to have to tear down and start over again. They got some Greyhounds coming out in the draft.
They're not going to start all
over. So we'll see what happens.
All right, they're not going to start all over again. But the thing is that when I say I feel bad for the kid, what advice did you have? I'm going to go on ESPN. Guns a-blazing.
Guns a-blazing.
I'm going to rip everybody. I'm going to rip Hayward. I'm going to rip Brad Stevens.
Yes, sir.
What are you thinking? And then when you finally ask the question, if Kyrie comes back and I'll have to leave, you have no say on leaving. You're still a restricted free agent. So even if another team offers you a 4-year deal, something you turned down when the Celtics offered it to you back in October, the Celtics can match it. And then they can move you wherever they want to move you. You have no say. Why would you do that? What are you thinking?
So,
and then on top of that, you're a guy that's not a superstar. Okay, even though I know you get the scary
says you.
Shirt.
No, says you.
Not a star. No, he's scary.
Does he got his own camps? Does he got his own shoe?
Yeah,
if he doesn't have his own shoe or his own camp.
He wants to be treated he's special.
He's not.
He is a special player.
But you know what? We had a caller earlier that nailed it. We made him into that star. People did last year. People got, they put him up there. They brought, you know, Drew Bledsoe into town, the whole thing.
It's really Drew Bledsoe's fault when you think about
it. It's a joke.
What would have happened, seriously, if they lost to Milwaukee in 6 in the first round last year?
Oh, he would have been.
Would it
nothing.
Be different?
Yes, it would have been a lot.
Like, I'm
different.
Just like this whole season.
Oh, a lot different. Yes, of course it would.
I mean, you're not even kidding when you say like, you know, the worst thing that ever happened to this year's team was going to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. By far, the worst thing that ever happened to that team.
Well, first of all, you would not have
that
gotten
was damaging
the egos from those young players. But I'll give you another one because I think you're right when you talk about. That Kyrie might not have wanted to show up for Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Final because he couldn't handle it, his team winning the game without him. So you would have never gotten those dynamics either, right?
Right.
So it would have been totally different.
No, Kyrie's ego wouldn't have been damaged. He would have felt, you know, even more empowered, which might have been an issue. I don't know. But see, I told you guys, can't win without me.
Right.
More importantly, though, there have been a few guys, the young guys, that wouldn't have sat there and thought they were entitled because they accomplished something. They might have still had that whole, there's more to do. I need to learn more. I need to get better. So, instead, it's almost like, I figured it all out. Why am I not getting mine?
So here's the other thing. So Mannix talked about I asked him about going to college, right? It seems like, I don't know why, but it's like, out of all the coaches, maybe just he came from college and he was so successful. It's like, if you're struggling in the NBA, which he really isn't, that he would want to go back to college. Where Mannix's right, because it's hard. You got to recruit these kids when they're like 15 years old, maybe 14 in some cases. But he says, okay, so fine. You have to learn to coach jerks, a-holes, selfish players. Do you think he's capable of doing that? Do you think Brad Stevens, having the year that he had, because I would say, okay, you gotta give some blame to Brad Stevens. I would say some guys just aren't coachable. And this group is an uncoachable group as far as chemistry is concerned. So does he
have
it in him?
I think Brad Stevens is a different bird. I think a lot of the college coaches who take NBA jobs have a big ego. Right? And they want to, that's why they want to go to the NBA, because they're the best and they want to show they can do the coach the best. I don't think Brad Stevens has a big ego. Yeah, I know. I think he's a guy. He's one of the guys that might sit there and say, yeah, I'm not sure I like this kind of team.
Yeah, but do you think he can do it? Do you think Brad Stevens is a guy? Let's just say the whole, the whole game comes back.
I don't think he would do it, but I think he's the type of guy that would think about it.
No,
more so than others.
No, do you think he's capable of managing these personalities? Is that something that you think he's capable of doing? Because so far, he's only done it with the most easygoing, accountable guys.
Last year, everybody wanted
to listen because everything he said worked.
So
now it's different.
Yeah, so here's what concerns me about that part of it. There's a window, and you have a window in which you can get to these players. If you can't, and he certainly did not get to the players this past year. If he has trouble doing it again next year, trust me, NBA players, especially star players, are going to sit there and say, he never played a game. At this level, he never played in a part. He doesn't know what I'm going through. And that's why a lot of times you get guys like Doc Rivers who have tremendous respect from those players because he can reach back to incidents that he had as a player and give them a comparison of what they need to do right now. I saw that back in the 80s. Those players, ex-players, that were unbelievable. Casey Jones was not a good X and O guy. He was a weak X and O guy. But he was able to get through to those players because he'd bring up something,
an issue.
The answer is no.
Well, okay.
Wait, hold on a second. I can't believe you actually answered it.
It was a yes or no.
Wow.
Well, when Mannix was talking about the coach who goes to the NBA and comes back, and Patino and Cal. Aren't they the perfect example?
And what did they do?
They went back.
Right, they had to. Didn't work.
But they got fired, didn't they?
Well, I'm just saying, you know what it was?
With both of them, by the way. It was egos.
You're talking about volunteering. Okay, yeah, I understand.
Just leaving.
Because their teams are so bad. But what if the point where, there's a bad taste after next year? Brad Stevens, I don't know, maybe another quality team, and he's just like, Jesus, another year of this? So, I mean, I know they didn't choose to go back. They got fired, but they went back to that college game, and they seemed a lot happier.
Well, because they have great egos, both of those guys, and it works in college. You're the star, not the players.
Right.
The coaches are. They make all the money. The players don't make any money.
And if Brad Stevens went to the college game, he would be the star at Michigan. He would be the star wherever he goes.
Think about a guy like right now that could possibly be in that situation. It was Billy Donovan. At Oklahoma,
right.
At OKC,
right.
college coach.
And he's had problems there.
No, yes, my point. I'm sitting there going, all right, if he gets fired, I can easily see them going back to college. But voluntarily leaving, that to me is kind of embarrassing.
See, that's why you're seeing these stories.
I can't make it.
You're seeing these stories crop up right now that Brad Stevens needs an ex-player alongside him on that bench. Why are you hearing that? Because players are sitting there going, one of the problems we have with the coaching staff, they've never done this crap before. They don't know what I'm going through. They never played games in the NBA. You know,
he surrounded himself with ex-college guys.
Correct, and that's what he probably does need. But it might get to the next level. Why do you think the guys out in LA wanted Jason Kidd? Jason Kidd failed miserably in Milwaukee. What difference did you see in Milwaukee this year with Budenholzer versus Jason Kidd?
Sure.
Day and night, they play defense. But the players, on the other hand, especially star players, they just want you to understand what they're going through every day.
Good with young players.
Yes.
They want Kidd to deal with the vets.
Right. Well, and that's why Kidd is an assistant coach. Because anytime the players start bitching, every time a Laker starts bitching and complaining about practice or playing time, they're going to Jason Kidd. Hey, man, I get it. I was a player and I was a coach. Here's what you should do. Be patient.
Yeah, which is why he'll be the next coach of the Lakers.
Yeah, and then when they fight, exactly.
Frank Vogel.
What a nightmare the Lakers are.
But I would say this. Brad Stevens is great when it comes to X's and O's. Guess what? That is only a fraction of what you're dealing with. You need to be a shrink. As Mannix said earlier, and we've been saying it now for the longest time, you need star players to win in the NBA, okay? And then you need to have a coach that can be the shrink, that can deal with all of those star players. That's the one thing
that
Brad Stevens has not proven that he can do. And I don't know if he can do that.
You're on the record of saying no, that he can't
do it. This point, he's not done it, so I would have to give you a no.
No, you would say in general, even in the future. No. You said
unlike
no.
you, I have not you come back from
said,
the future.
You said
I'm
no.
I'm going to the future.
So what happens is you don't change your mind. You just say, I was wrong.
No, okay. I say no. I don't hesitate with it.
Yeah, you do.
We have another code for you to win this Ooh. Unbelievable wedding package.
Ooh, it's my turn.
Huge wedding package in which you get not only all of the suits for your entire wedding party, but you get the little bachelor party over at Fenway
booze,
Park in our suite.
Alcohol.
Our suite. The suite is unbelievable.
We'll be there all night.
Unbelievable. Sweet. We're going to do that coming up next. We're going to get right back to your phone calls. It's the draft lottery tonight, and we're going to put the big lug to work here. Oh. He is going to break out the ping pong balls and see if he can get the Celtics to get that number two pick that Sacramento owns. We're going to do that and your phone calls at 617-779-7937.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
I don't know that anything that ever involves Kyrie Irving is a done deal because he has one of the smallest inner circles of anyone I've ever covered.
I got a text message from folks close to Kyrie's family.
Like, his inner circle is basically his father. Like, that's who really knows what's going on.
From everything that I've been hearing over the last few days, Kyrie Irving's heading to New York City.
Somebody should get to Stephen A.
Tell so maybe Manic's talking group about a small inner circle. Maybe his dad's the only one. But, yeah,
Stephen's got
a
big circle. Big circle.
He's talking. You know what the thing is? When you start talking to friends of the family, do you ever meet like these people that like, you know, that are friends with your family and they just can't wait to give out information, mm-hmm. whether yeah. they're right, mm. whether they're wrong, but all they want to do is they want to be a source.
Yes.
They want to pretend like they
removed.
Know and they really don't know a damn thing and they're speaking for you
because
it's cool because they saw Stephen A.
That's right.
And they're Stephen A.'s source. I don't buy any of that stuff.
Let's go back.
Not that I'm saying that he might still end up in New York, but the friend of the family is a friend of no.
Yeah, so what exactly is it that you did sacrifice in your words?
In your words. So this could be some guy that met Kyrie Irving's father someday, one day, many years
could
ago.
Could be the valet.
Could be anything.
Dry cleaner.
Yeah.
The guy that handles a, you know,
Mannix is right.
Through window teller.
Mannix is right. A lot of people are not talking about the draft lottery here because they're not assuming that the Celtics have a great chance of getting one of those high lottery picks.
Do you want to do the whole lottery explanation?
Yes.
Because
yes.
I feel like you need to be like have a beautiful mind in order to decipher what the hell is going on.
It's not as complicated as you think. They make it look
mind.
A lot more complicated. Yeah,
you have a beautiful mind.
Thank you very
big
much.
Big giant head.
You have
beautiful
eyes.
Mind.
Does he have nice eyes?
Yeah,
look at his eyes.
Yeah.
Dreamy. Really dreamy eyes. Well, they do this 45 minutes before they actually reveal it on TV. So if the Knicks, for an example, win number one tonight, some fool is going to sit there and say, well, they had a cold card, and that's why they picked it. It was frozen.
Can I give you this? This is a pretty funny tweet, by the way.
Yeah.
So this guy, John Fox, NBA, I guess he's local stuff with the Knicks.
Yeah.
So he's got this video of the room, and there's like a rehearsal. So an ESPN rehearsal for tonight's NBA draft lottery.
Right. We're going to do ours in a second.
But,
we're gonna have
Rachel Nichols is up there with Mark Tatum, and in their rehearsal, they announce that Phoenix is the winner.
Oh, good.
That Dallas is second.
Jeez.
The Bulls are third. The Cavs are fourth. And the Knicks is fifth.
What the hell is going on?
So
I have no idea.
They're rehearsing an ESPN thing. And they just happen to name an order of Suns, Mavs, Bulls, Cavs, Knicks. Knicks.
Oh,
so four teams
awesome.
Would have jumped the Knicks, and they dropped
that would
fifth.
Be awesome.
So are they just rehearsing and just make up the names, make
yeah,
up
make
the
it
order?
As chaotic
or
as possible.
is it already determined?
How many fans? No, it's not determined. Trust me, if it were predetermined, the Knicks would come up with the number one pick. Okay. If that happens, though, tonight, and James Dolan is having like his own fan party in a draft lottery party, he'd be tossing people out of the room. You out, you out. So what they do is they do it 45 minutes in advance.
You sure?
Yes. They put ping pong balls inside a big thing, and every team, based on the percentage that they have of winning this thing, get certain number of numbers. So your number
certain
might
number
be
of numbers.
Yeah, so your number might be, you might have 632, 633, et cetera, et cetera. And then the balls come out, and the only thing they do is they determine, it used to be the top three spots, now it's the top four spots. They've expanded it into a fourth team, and that's all they do. And then after that, everything just fills in based on your record. So it's not that, you know, big a deal. They don't, even though it looks like a dramatic thing. So when you're watching TV tonight, it's very simple to figure out what's going on with the Celtics. If when they take the first card and they lift it, open it up, the envelope, and if it's not Sacramento, it means that that pick is going to be in the top four.
Yay, Celtics! Right, but it can't be one.
If it's number one for Boston, it's the worst case scenario. The Celtics would get Philadelphia's pick, which is number 24.
It's also you the do worst not case want scenario because Memphis, correct? They're sitting at nine right now?
They are sitting at eight right now.
Eight. So if you take your Sacramento pick and you bump in the top four, that could potentially push them to nine.
And
if you get one, you don't even get that pick. And you end up with nine.
Correct.
Confusing?
Right.
No, it is.
So that's the first thing.
36% of the time, 9-5, which equals, I don't know.
So the first thing you look for is Sacramento. And if Sacramento doesn't pop up, Miami or somebody else pops up, then you know that the Celtics have got a top four pick. But you still don't know, as you just said, Lou, because it only can be 2, 3, or 4. You don't know if it's number one. If it's number one, you really lose out. So you're going to be sitting there watching it. And the other one to watch, because it would be Memphis at number eight. So when you get down to number eight, if Memphis is number eight, that's a good thing. Memphis keeps it. Boston gets next year or 2021, because next year it's protected in the top six. So you want to try it out?
We got
a ping pong machine over here.
All right, so I am going to, I guess I'm your Vanna White.
Yes,
I'm going to be Vanna White.
You're going to spin it up.
Okay, but hold on. What do you want to see?
The top four.
Okay, no, but
I don't want to see the Knicks number one.
I think
Mannix nailed it. I think that is the if you want Kyrie Irving back here next year,
four.
That's right.
What do you want? You want the Knicks at four?
Yes. The worst case scenario is they get Zion Williamson. Not that they're going to keep him. They will trade him to get Anthony Davis. Now they'll get Durant and Kyrie because they have the ability to get two free agents and make a trade. Then suddenly the Knicks are a powerhouse.
Yeah, you don't want
them
more.
All right. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Then we're going to do this a couple times. Here you go. Spinning the wheel. Oh. No, that's
Reamer.
Too
Reamer.
Long. It happens much quicker than that.
No, I repurposed the wheel.
New York is number one. Let's do it again.
What's the top four?
Okay, I'll give you the top four. Oh, and this one. Atlanta was number one. Cleveland, number two.
Oh, I like this.
New Orleans, number three. Chicago. Oh, and the Knicks were fifth.
I like this one.
All right, let's do it again. One out of two. It's too long. My thing happens in like 2 seconds. Atlanta, number one again.
This time,
the Knicks are third. All right, let's do it again. Let's just keep going.
RJ Barrett.
So far, I've done it five times so far. I'm just going to keep going because it happens so fast.
Sacramento dive in at all?
No. Wait, the Knicks have only been one.
Memphis dive in at all?
Memphis, no. Memphis isn't changing. But the top four the Knicks have only got the top spot once in the 7 times I've done this simulation.
Cleveland's got it this time.
Dallas.
Oh, Dallas just got it.
And the New Yorkers. New York has been... The fifth spot seems to be a trend for New York.
See, and it's different this year. So even though they're in the number one spot, they don't really have an advantage over the first three teams. So the Knicks have 14%, Cleveland does, and Phoenix does. Chicago is 12.5%, and Atlanta, who's popped up twice on our little simulation over here, is 10.5%. And if you're looking at Sacramento, the chances of them getting in the top three is 3.4%.
The best I've seen for the Celtics is they ended up being ninth. Having the ninth pick.
That's Memphis.
That would be Memphis. Yep. So that's other Memphis. Than that,
that's not a win.
Well, no, I'm just saying that's not a win. I guess because you don't want that. You don't even want them to get that, right? Because you'd rather push that over till next year.
Next year to be top six protected, which is fine. Because if they just bottom out and then the following year, it's yours. And more importantly, if you don't use that this year, yeah, that's a great trade chip.
Let me reset it.
Come on, make the Celtics win, Christian.
I'm trying. There's not a single scenario that helps them out.
Yeah, you want Memphis to jump.
See if they.
There you go, New York number one. Do you want to take bets on this by any chance?
No. So we want to see the Celtics show up in the top four with Sacramento. We want Sacramento on the top four.
That hasn't happened.
Hasn't happened yet?
So, oh, wait, no, there it is. It just happened.
Should have bet on
you just said it. Where? It just happened. Yeah, they just had it. And that was, the 50th time I've done this.
Where did they finish?
They finished third.
That's a good one.
You'd take that one.
There it is again. Third. They moved up 11 spots.
So
it's possible. You just have to do it 50 times.
It's possible, but it's only possible.
How many times can you do it?
3.4%.
How many times can you do it? Do it again. Do it again. Well,
they're only going to do it once, even though they're practicing. By the way, Lou, I'll bet you they practice like as many times as we just did.
Oh, sure.
Right? Yeah. They're sitting there just going over it and over it. It's like a game. You're just playing it.
Oh, you got a shot.
And somebody leaked it out just to piss off the Knicks.
You got a shot.
Yeah, because no cell phones. Closed room.
They take cell phones away from you. And the worst part about it
is... your pants, too.
So each team has a...
shoes.
Each team...
so shoe laces. So you can't run away.
So each team has...
I would steal his dog.
Each team has a representative. If the Celtics going to have a representative?
Yes.
Are they?
I saw who it was, but I can't remember.
It's Terry Rozier.
No, it isn't.
He's on the car wash.
No, it is not. It
should be Al.
Because what do you...
He's a winning player.
Because what do you do if Sacramento... is number one, and you are representing the Celtics on there, and they tell you, go home. Because Philadelphia just took that pick. By the way, how about that? How about that scenario?
Ooh.
How bad is that scenario? Sacramento goes to number one.
That's not good.
And now you look at Joel Embiid and Butler, if they can re-sign him, and Harris, if they can re-sign him, and Zion Williamson?
Do you like this format?
Well, how would you want it?
What's a better format?
Yes, I think it's good.
It's not perfect, but what's a better format?
I like the fact that the top four all have equal chance, right? Or top three or top four?
Top three. Number four has 1.5% less.
Yeah, I like that.
I think they're just trying too hard.
Well, they're trying to prevent teams from tanking. Teams tank.
Well, you know what? They're going to tank until they get better. Then they won't tank. I mean, that's just the way it is. So what if they tank?
Prevent them from tanking. Well, there's not much difference between the Knicks in Chicago or Atlanta, is there? So why not have them all equal?
I'd say it's a good business practice. Tank to get the number one spot. And
that's why they take it away from you.
No, they don't want tank.
No, yeah. I want them to tank. It's the only way you're going to get better.
Please.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work for everybody. There's teams that are in the top four or five every year. Don't work.
Who's been in the top four or five every year?
I don't know.
Cleveland. Cleveland was for a long time.
Cleveland was, like yeah. Well, so was Philly.
Cleveland
was for like for a the really Kyrie long time. Draft. Right?
Yeah, I just don't want to see
the process.
I don't want to see.
Yeah, that is the tank until you figure it out.
The problem is you can influence by pulling a player out and just being bad, right? You see how the impact one player can impact an NBA game, NBA team. Guy gets hurt, you say just sit down. We're better off if you just sit. So now the players aren't playing. People are going to the game. No one's playing because everyone's trying to lose. That's not a good product.
So how about San Antonio? If you look at the unbelievable run they had, which was, 19 years or whatever, people compare it to the Patriots run. So David Robinson is their star player, and he's getting up there in age. And what happens? They sit him out for virtually a good part of that season because Tim Duncan was up on the board that year, and they pretty much tanked. The entire season, ended up getting Tim Duncan, and extended that window forever. And they did it all because they tanked. If they had not done that, Robinson was fine. He could have come back and played. Maybe not at 100%, but they were doing it purposely to see if they could get themselves another big player. The only one that I want is, I don't care, by the way, about the Knicks. If the Knicks are good again, so be it. Maybe it's better for the Celtics and better for the rivalry that doesn't exist right now. The only reason I don't want to see the Knicks get that number one pick is I think that puts Kyrie in a position where he sits there and says, I got to go to New York. This is unbelievable. I'm going to get super team with me and KD and AD.
Oh, yep. Wow. I can already see the commercials.
Yeah.
Yep.
AD, KD.
So it would be KD.
Kyrie.
Because I heard, again, there's so many sources. Everybody's got a guy.
Everybody's got a guy.
Well,
you gotta have a
and
guy.
Everybody's 100% sure. Like Colin Cowherd the other day was doing, I think it was today. I don't even remember
you
now.
You have a guy.
He was doing the same thing. Like 100%. He heard from a player that told him, that just texted him while he was listening to the show, said, oh no, 100% KD is going to be a Knick.
But see, here's the thing. So these guys are all doing it. Right? And if KD doesn't go to New York, they don't sit there and just apologize. They just move on like they never said it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? You never get called out being wrong.
You're not going to be held accountable to your
to what happened to your guy that said a guy? Well, things change.
How about a day for embarrassing quotes by Celtics players and people talking about the Celtics? We already have Rozier. How about Giannis's comment today? Against Boston, you can go down 1-0 and still be fine. But against Toronto, it's hard to be in that spot when you lose the first game in your home. We need to win,
man.
Game one.
I mean, what's he? Well, why would
Celtics
that be stupid?
So bad.
I would say actually, he's actually speaking the truth.
It's
actually it's just some clarity. After game two, he probably realized, okay, why? What was I so nervous about in the first place? Why did I allow that first game to just get in my head and allow these clowns to kind of to take one from me on my home court?
He's right, though.
He's totally right.
I mean, that's a disgrace because at least you can look at Philly and say, oh, they lost to Toronto. It was game seven and a buzzer beater.
Yeah, ball bounced 10 times.
So we forget that, guys, because if you remember after game one, do you remember the calls? These lines were loaded. And all the green teamers were coming out of the woodwork and they were ridiculing us because we had all picked Milwaukee in that series and they were killing us. Oh, see, they flipped the switch. They did this. They did that. And now you hear from Rozier today. There was no switch ever flipped.
No.
These guys were dysfunctional all year long.
Yeah, no, that's where it just comes to me. It comes down to Brad. And I tell you, next year, there's going to be, depending on what the team looks like. Now, if they go back to that cute little team, that's trying to get the four seed and they just compete and play hard, I think fans will be like, oh, that's great. But, if they put a club together with his expectations again, and you start to see signs of the similar things going on, that's when you're going to start hearing more about Brad Stevens, more than he did this year. Because people are critical of him. But you can't figure that out. You can't get your star player and a role player. You can't get their minds right of what you need to do to win.
Yeah, but I don't think he's taken much heat to this point because Kyrie is a lightning rod. Bob Ryan, okay, usually pretty rational, is out there. I've seen some of his tweets, and he's ripping Kyrie, and I'm sitting there going, Bob, come on. You know the game. You know how it's played. I think Brad Stevens really skirted a lot of these issues.
I think there's criticism. Right. Anytime anybody talks about blame on the season, because that's what you do when you lose, you'll go to Kyrie, but Brad Stevens is always there. He's always mentioned. Not being able to put it all together. So, and that's why I say
but he took the accountability for
it. Yeah, which is great, and he should. But right. So there's a little bit of noise. If there's expectations next year, depending on the team that Danny puts together, then a lot more pressure is going to be on him. If they keep Kyrie, if they go trade for Anthony Davis, this type of year cannot happen again. Or he might be gone then. You can't have a repeat of this past year. If you go out and keep Kyrie and go get Anthony Davis, that cannot happen. That is absolutely unacceptable. You'll be in the NBA Finals or you could be gone.
Well, it'll even be worse, though, because Anthony Davis, if he has a bad experience here, because he's not going to sign before he comes here. He can't do that. He can't make his money. So he's going to play the year out. And if they have another disappointing year and Kyrie can't do it, he can't pull it together, then Davis ends up walking here a year from now, right? And then you're really screwed again. I mean, it's amazing when you think at where this team has been on the rise and it's getting better and the assets are being built and you're sitting there going, they can do this
time to reap the benefits now.
If Kyrie suddenly tonight, I'm telling you, if Zion Williamson, if that number one pick goes to the Knicks, then is anybody going to come in here tomorrow feeling good about Kyrie Irving coming back to the Celtics?
How the hell?
I still think there's a good chance he'll come back. But if the Knicks get that number one pick, I think Chris Mannix is 100% correct. That
could
change
it. Have 2 hours and 40 minutes to go.
It's 8:30, right?
They're 2 hours and 40 minutes and 21 seconds. Terrific. 20 seconds.
It's an
18 yeah, seconds. Right.
Exactly.
There you go.
17 seconds.
Right. And you'll be leaving in about 10 minutes.
14 seconds.
That's how it works.
Oh, it's almost here.
This hour all brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Lowell.
8 seconds.
Online at 495ram.com. By the way, lose on the game
Four
tonight.
Seconds.
Yeah, lose doing
2 hours,
game
40
tonight.
Minutes and one
Let's
second.
Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around, join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
Back to more of Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
I'm not thrilled about the end of it.
Our very, very best, you know, we've saved for last.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier.
I'm told if the Knicks get that number one overall pick, they would then shift their focus toward a potential deal for Anthony Davis in Zion Williamson with the number one overall pick, and potentially Kevin Knox, you know, their prized rookie who had a stellar campaign, really started to develop over the course of the season. They could pair both of those guys in a trade for Anthony Davis, and there might not be another team out there that has a better package than the Knicks if they were able to get that number one overall pick.
Sham Charania. He's right about this. This is what? The worst nightmare for the Boston Celtics, unless you're one of those out there that want Kyrie to just go away. Kyrie will go away. And Kyrie will be kicking your ass in the East because he'll have Anthony Davis and he'll have Kevin Durant. That is your worst nightmare coming up tonight.
Go away!
Exactly. This last segment, by the way, is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule your free pickup at 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or at carsforkids.com. Everybody's got a source. Here's Cowherd's source today.
Okay.
Yep, he's got one.
An NBA veteran player.
Yep.
I follow all sorts of people.
Sure. You got sources.
An NBA player, very, very connected.
Very.
Been around this league
very,
for a long
very
time.
Not just
Told
very.
Me 15 minutes ago.
15 minutes ago.
KD to the Knicks is 100% done.
Wow.
And he has made calls to other players.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Hold on. He's playing right now, and he's trying to rehab so he can get ready for game two or game three in the Western Conference Finals, and he's picking up the phone?
Yeah.
Trying to get other players?
I know you're going to be a free agent.
I tell you what, if I'm Steph Curry, I'm pissed right now. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Again, rumors, gossip.
100%.
Family.
Stephen A. only gets 95.
Friends of the family.
100%.
Friends of the family, which can mean anything.
It's a joke, isn't it? All these people coming up
with
sources.
I tell you what, there's nothing like rumor season. That's what it is. Gossip, rumors, you name it. The NBA has it on lock.
I follow all sorts of people.
Oh, you do. You're a stalker is what you are.
Jeez. 100%. I will say this. He's just tagging on with everybody else. There isn't anybody out there when you bring up Kevin Durant that doesn't say he's going to the Knicks. And I remember when he ended up going to Golden State, a lot of people thought he was going back to Oklahoma City. Do you remember that? They thought he was.
No, he almost came here.
Almost came to Boston. A lot of people thought he was coming to Boston.
Yeah, Tom Brady and Kelly Olynyk blew it.
I want all these a-holes to be wrong on this one. I really do. I want him to go somewhere else. You know, go to where? Go to Brooklyn. Anywhere. Go anywhere. I just love that to happen. That would be absolutely perfect. We're going to take you out. By the way, happy 30th birthday to Gronk. It's Gronk's birthday.
Oh, that's right.
It's Gronk's birthday today. Did you see, by the way, his girlfriend is on the front cover of SI? How about that?
I did. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean,
he wants to be Brady now. Let the girlfriend model make all the money. He just sits back.
He's only 30 years old.
30 years old.
Seven more years.
30 years old. Be quite a party. I'll guarantee you that. 30 years old. So we're going to let you go out with the show here so that you can hear a little bit more of Chris Mannix.
I mean, look, he can go get 4 years from the Knicks. He can get a significant contract from anybody else, for that matter. The only thing that makes me wonder if Kyrie wants to go is that, look, he got everything he wanted when he was traded to Boston. He got situated on a stable team with a great GM, with a coach. Every player that's played for him wants to play for, and a supporting cast that was good enough to get that team into the NBA Finals. The only thing I could think of is that he got all that and then realized he didn't want all that. I mean, Kyrie's leadership was basically just taking stuff and chucking against the wall and see if it stuck. for all of last year. And that didn't work. I mean, he kind of found a rhythm at the end of the season by just basically saying it's going to be okay because I'm there. But he sort of vacillated between, you know, making fun of the younger players, calling them out, you know, questioning their desire and everything else, and just sort of doing a paint by numbers with leadership. And maybe he sees all that. And he's like, you know, I want to go play with a Kevin Durant where I can just be a baller. I'm going to go play where in the neighborhood where I grew up at the arena I wanted to play in for years and just be a basketball player. Maybe he doesn't want all the things that come with being a franchise player. That's one reason I would think he would run out of Boston.
All right, best case scenario from Boston tonight, Sacramento 2-3-4, and Memphis stay in the top eight so they can take it. And you have two great assets in the offseason here to try to get Anthony Davis. Now, you brought up the worst case scenario with Zion Williamson being at number one and the Knicks picking up that number one. And I would agree, if you can trade him for Anthony Davis and you've got Durant and Kyrie, it's pretty hard to beat the Knicks. But do you trust Durant and Kyrie and not an awful lot else? Maybe they can trade Kevin Knox and to get a veteran or something like that. With James Dolan running that organization, I like their coach Fizdale, but you tell me, an owner, there's a reason the Knicks haven't won since the 70s, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be putting a lot of blind faith in a group of people and an owner that has been nothing but bad at their jobs.
He throws fans out of the place.
Yeah, I mean, look, I would say that if you get Durant, Kyrie, and AD, like, I don't want to say it's idiot-proof, but, like, only have a skeleton supporting cast around them, like, you're still going to be dangerous to win the whole thing. So, like, that's the thing. Like, if you're the Celtics, you're a Celtics fan, and you see the Knicks at fourth or fifth, you will feel overwhelmingly better about your chances of retaining Kyrie Irving, because you're not going to – you can outbid the Knicks for Anthony Davis if you're Boston beyond that number one or even the number two overall pick. You just got to be wary of them getting number one. And if you're Kyrie Irving, you and Durant and, like, the fourth pick, that doesn't win much. I don't even know. I mean, that gets you, like, in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference, but I don't think that pushes you past any of the top-tier teams in the East just with that crew.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.